for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2016 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, Saturday morning, May 28, 2016. Carla B. Todd is the speaker of this service teaching on The Curse of Tamar.
Okay. Well, how many of you are glad you came?
Yes.
Yes.
Are you better than you were yesterday?
Yes.
Good. And it's only Saturday. We have 24 hours from now, so a lot can happen in a second.
That's right.
Okay. Well, I understand that it was announced last night that I was going to be teaching on the bastard curse, but there was a change. The divine decision was the computer would not print off my notes. But I was waiting two messages, so what greater sign do you need? So I'm going with the other one. But it's very much needed. When I look at demons, almost every person that is new to deliverance that contacts me, I start with a process of messages. The bastard curse is one on top because it's a cruel spirit and many people have it in their lives. It comes to you if you are not properly loved and nurtured, if you are unwanted, if you were the result of a rape or something like that, even if you're not disciplined properly, it can come on you. It can come on you generationally, which is the way it falls on most people. And it gave me a lot of trouble the first 30 years of my life until I was delivered from it. And this one is also one that I recommend. I usually say, why don't you send me a brief history of your life? In just reading, God will show the demons that need to be dealt with. It's almost like my son is a doctor. And I told him, I said, you would be surprised how much this ministry is like medicine. Because if someone comes into your office and says, oh, been having a pain right here, and nausea, and vomiting, and fever, and all of those symptoms are pointing toward an infirmity. And then that's where they start looking. Same thing here. This is going on, this is going on, this is going on. And it's pointing to particular spirits. So the one that I'm going to talk about today is called desolation. It's breaking desolation off of people's lives. And it comes through the curse of Tamar. And all the years that I've been going to meetings, I would see all these women alone. Most of them are single. Many of them are married, and their husbands aren't where they are, so the wives are by themselves, which was my case for many years. And I would be covetous of husbands and wives who would sit together in meetings, especially those who minister together, because that's really, in the bottom of my heart, my desire is for my husband to be with me in ministry. But he is not where I am. He has a different function in the body of Christ, I should say. And one day God told me, because I was saying, Lord, when, why, you know, and he said, he just very plainly said, what I do with your husband is none of your business. So I had to let go of it. So I do what I do. He does what he does. And if it ever comes together that we are ministering together, praise the Lord. But until then, I got to do what I do. He's at home praying for me. So he's doing what he's supposed to do at this time. Okay, so in seeing all these women by themselves, many of them beautiful women, want to be married, not married, no prospects. They just go on year after year alone, wishing for a husband, not finding a husband. And I said, Lord, what is the deal? What is this? Why so many single women, beautiful women, willing to be married women, but they're not married? So I have this spiritual bulletin board where I put my questions to God. And I leave them there, and then one day He answers. And one day I was thumbing through the Bible, and I came across a page with one little circle on it. And what was circled is, so Tamar remained desolate. Those are the words I had circled. So Tamar remained desolate. Well, that caught my eye. Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about. And the story of Tamar, you know, many of these spirits that we talk about, like the spirit of Jezebel, it comes from a story in the Bible, and the character and what she did and the way she behaved is why we name that spirit that spirit. And so this curse is called the curse of Tamar. I call it the curse of Tamar. I had never heard anything about the curse of Tamar before. And so we're going to, if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 13, and we're going to take a look at Tamar and what this is all about, and then we're going to deal with those spirits. If they are plaguing your life, we're going to take care of them today. So in 2 Samuel 13, it says, and it came to pass after this that Absalom, who was King David's third son, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. Now, I've heard her called Tamar, but in Texas we call her Tamar, because everything has that kind of drawl. It's not Habakkuk, it's Habakkuk. I heard a East Texas preacher call it the Shekinah glory. My eyebrows, I think, went up. Okay. So the son of David had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, who was David's firstborn son. But they had different mothers. Absalom and Tamar had the same mother. Amnon had the same daddy, but a different mother. So they were half-brother and sisters. Amnon, the son of David, loved her. He was in love with his half-sister. And Amnon was so distressed that he felt sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend. See, he thought it hard for him to do anything to her because he knew that it was a relationship that was off limits. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, who was actually their cousin, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. Now, that word subtle is the same word that was used for the serpent in Genesis, in the Garden of Eden. And I have that definition here, subtle. It means cunning, usually in a bad sense. Webster says it's a trick or stratagem intended to ensnare or deceive, skillful or ingenious in gaining an end. That's the word that was used to describe the serpent, who was really Satan, and it's also the word used for Jonadab. And he said unto Amnon, why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, okay, now, you got to be careful who you listen to. You got to be careful who your friends are. So see, he got bad advice from his cousin. So Jonadab is going to help Amnon find a way to be with Tamar. In verse 5, and Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy bed and pretend that thou art sick. Here's the plot. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me food and prepare the food in my sight, that I may see it and eat it at her hand. So Amnon lay down and pretended he was sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar my sister come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat at her hand. Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, go now to thy brother Amnon's house and prepare a meal for him. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down, and she took flour and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, send out all men from me. And they went out, every man from him. See, he had servants that were there in the room. And when Tamar came in and baked the cakes, now he tells all the servants to get out. Go out of the room. And Amnon said unto Tamar, bring the food into the chamber, that I may eat of thine hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the chamber to Amnon, her brother. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, come lie with me, my sister. And she answered him, nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not this folly. And I, where shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Now, that caused me to stop and ponder. Was she biding time? Was she just trying to get him to get out of the room, or to let her get out of the room and go and ask his dad if he could have her? I really don't think David would have given her. I think she was looking for an escape. Although, I wasn't there. As Brother Nikki said yesterday, we read a lot of things in there. But if you look at the context of what's happening, when I read the story, I've become one of the characters. And in this story, I was Tamar. What would I have done if my brother had apprehended me, knowing what he had in mind? I would have tried to put something between us in a time to get out of there and away from the situation. Verse 14, howbeit he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. So we see that he forced her. It was not mutual. He forced her, which this day and time we call rape. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he loved her. Now, isn't that interesting? He was so in love with her that he was sick. He couldn't even eat. And now that he's had the very thing he was sick about wanting, now she's the object of his hatred. So Amnon said unto her, arise, be gone. Now, in those days, that was the old English, which today he would have said, get up and get out of here, with disdain. And, you know, as I thought about what he did, I mean, he was sick because he knew that he should not be having the feelings toward his half-sister that he was having. He knew that it would be wrong to pursue these feelings, but he did it anyway. And when we sin, that's exactly how it is. The temptation is there. The thought is there. The lust for it is there. We know we shouldn't do it, but for some reason we do it anyway. And then the anger is there. When it's your own thing, you hate yourself. You're angry at yourself for falling to that thing yet once again. And that's what, you know, if you sin, repent, and it's done with, that's wonderful. But when you sin, repent, and go on, and it comes back, and you sin and repent, and it comes back, and you do it again, and you sin and repent, then there is an evil spirit attached to that thing that is driving you. And that's what's so good about being able to come and have that spirit rooted out and cast out. My Uncle Ernie, who is Frank Marzullo's brother, he would say, well, I think it was Frank Marzullo, actually, who said this. Ernie was quoting Frank. But he said that you cannot, see, the Bible tells us to mortify the deeds of the flesh. You cannot kill a demon. You cannot mortify a demon. It has to be cast out. And you can't cast out the flesh. You got to mortify the flesh, the deeds of the flesh. So sometimes we don't know whether it's one or the other. But that's a good way you can tell. If it continues to happen and continues to happen, then you need deliverance. Okay, so now he has kicked Tamar out of his bedroom. And she said unto him, there is no cause this evil in sending me away is greater than the other which thou didst to me. But he would not hearken unto her. And he called his servants that ministered unto him and said, put now this out from me and bolt the door after her. So you can see him dragging her out, putting her out of the room, and you can hear that heavy wooden door slam and the steel bolt of that lock. And that's what she experienced after the horror. She experiences rejection. Then he calls his servant that ministered unto him and said, put now this, and in italics it says woman. He didn't even say woman. He just said, put this. You know, like it's not even a person. Put this out for me and bolt the door after her. And she had a garment of diverse colors, seven different colors, upon her. For with such robes were the king's daughters, who were virgins, appareled. Then his servant brought her out and bolted the door after her. And Tamar put ashes. Ashes is a sign of mourning, anguish, sorrow, and grieving. You know, many times when there's a death, they put ashes and sackcloth. That was a sign of mourning. So now Tamar put ashes on her head and tore her garment of several colors that was on her. You know why she did that? Because she was no longer a virgin. And now that garment that she wore, she didn't feel worthy to wear it anymore. So she tore that garment and laid her hand on her head and went on her way crying. She was totally devastated. And Absalom, her brother, said unto her, when he saw her, first thing out of his mouth, hath Amnon thy brother been with thee? Why did he ask for that? Let me tell you, when a man is looking upon a woman with lust, people notice. People had seen Amnon looking upon her inappropriately. And so, as so many times, we see these things and nobody says anything about it. Nobody confronts the issue until it happens, and then we realize that the very thing that we were afraid was going to happen has happened. And listen to what Absalom told her. You know, when Tamar saw Absalom coming her way, I just know she thought, oh, thank God, my brother. He's going to defend me. He's going to get vengeance for me. He's going to take care of Amnon for me. But listen to what he says, verse 20. But hold now thy peace, my sister. He is thy brother. Regard not this thing. Wow. That would be easy for him to say. He wasn't in there. It wasn't him who was being violated. It wasn't him who was at the mercy of this evil spirit that had taken Amnon over and satisfied itself with Amnon. And the victim was Tamar. Then it says, so Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. Do you know she's never mentioned again? She was a princess, the daughter of the king, with dreams and hopes, just like when I was a young girl. I couldn't wait for my knight in shining armor to come on a white horse and carry me away and live happily ever after. Well, that's another teaching. But we are happily married now, 40 years.
Amen.
So, never give up. Nothing is impossible with God. But here, you know, as again I've said before, if we could see in the spirit realm, we would see virgins with this colorful garment, beautiful garment. And we would also see those whose garments have been torn. They actually wore their virginity. Everyone knew that that was the garment that virgins wore. Said so. So everybody who looked upon these young girls knew that they were virgins. And here she is now in grief, having been betrayed not only by Amnon, but her brother Absalom. Betrayal. I'm sure she felt like her life was not worthy to be defended. She felt worthless, and she was defenseless. She had no one to defend her. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. She never had her prince. She never had her family. Everything that she had dreamed about was gone. So, we see that Amnon had lust for his sister, half-sister, but still sister, forbidden. He had rebellion because he knew that he was not to have any kind of relationship like that with his sister. He had an obsession with her. He plotted with his cousin. It was a conspiracy to get her into his room. There was deception and lying, and of course the rape itself. Then there was anger, resentment, bitterness, hatred, self-hatred, all of those I would call familiar spirits of a rapist, and betrayal. You know, later, Absalom did plot and had Amnon killed. Now, all of these were a direct result of the sins of the father being visited upon the children. In the Ten Commandments, it says that the sins of the iniquities of the fathers will be visited upon the children of the third and the fourth generation, if it's not dealt with. And see, these things are things that people keep secret. I'm sure that Amnon didn't go around bragging about it, because now he was ashamed. That's why he was mad. He didn't expect to have those feelings after the fact. That was going to be a conquest for him, but not so, which is usually the way it is. Seducing spirits. And if you want to, I did a teaching on seducing spirits. I need to do that one again sometime. But the way the devil will work, and what happened just even with Amnon. Look at that. That's nice. So the temptation is set. The seed is planted. And then the devil will just lure you in. Come on, I know she's your half-sister, but hey, don't worry about it. Come on. You can have her. And then after that, ooh, look what you did. That's how Satan works. He's got you going thinking it's going to be the best thing that ever happened. And then when the veil is lifted, you see the evil. And you're left with all the wreckage. All of these were a direct result of King David. I'm not going to go much into that, but I do want to read in 2 Samuel chapter 11, only two chapters before this happens, is the story of David and Bathsheba. And in verse 1 it says, "And it came to pass after the year was ended, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all of Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon, and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem." See, it was the time when kings go to battle. But he hung back, he stayed back, he tarried. Beware of tarrying. It's very important to be where you're supposed to be.
That's right, amen.
When you tarry in a place that you're not supposed to be, trouble is waiting. So David, you know the story. He tarried, so he's not at battle where he should be. He's lollygagging out on his little patio. And he looks out, and on a rooftop, he sees a beautiful woman bathing. So he calls somebody, "Hey, who is that woman?" And they said, "That is Uriah's wife." Well, David sent messengers and took her. Doesn't say he invited her. I had never looked at this way until I read the story of Tamar. He took her, another man's wife. I look at myself, a married woman who loves her husband. I wouldn't care who it was who came to take me to their bed. I would not have wanted to go. Put a whole nother light on that situation with David and Bathsheba. Of course, he was the king. You didn't tell the king no. He took her. And then, of course, she was found with child. So he plots to make it look like it's her husband's child. So David brings her husband back from the war so he can sleep with his wife so nobody would know that it was his baby. But, you know, Uriah was a man of integrity. His men were at war. He wasn't going to take the pleasure of his wife while all of his soldiers that had wives were out there on the battleground. He wouldn't sleep with her. He wouldn't even go into bed with her. He slept outside on the door stoop. Well, that caused a problem for David. Can you just imagine what's going on in his head? Oh, no. So, he brings him over and gets him drunk. Beware of getting drunk. There are spirits in those bottles that will change your personality. They will give you courage when you don't have any. They will strip you of your inhibitions and make you do things or cause you to do things that you wouldn't ordinarily do. So he's thinking he's going to get Uriah drunk and surely he'll go home and sleep with his wife then. Nope. Wouldn't sleep with the wife. Well, David had to think of something else. So he planned to, he told his guys to take Uriah down to the front line and then everybody retreat. Oh, my goodness, how wicked. And had Uriah killed. And he brought her home and made her his wife. There's more of that story, but I'm not going to go into it. But now you see his son lusting, taking someone he shouldn't have taken. And it ended up in murder. You see how that works? Now, for Tamar, she was stalked by her brother. She knew. She probably tried to be out of the room when he came in the room because it was uncomfortable to be looked at like that. She knew. And so did everybody else. Somebody should have taken him aside and said, I know what you're thinking. You better get it out of your mind. And then make ways to keep a distance from him and Tamar. She was lusted after. She was raped, violated, betrayed, became the hated, blamed, lost her innocence, lost her virginity, shamed, shunned, no longer arrayed in a beautiful, colorful garment, grieved, thrust into mourning, sorrow, and sadness. Unprotected, no one defended her honor. How often does that happen? Silence, Stephen. Don't tell anybody. Satan has his greatest power over us in the area of your secrets, of our secrets. If we have a secret, he can blackmail you. I had a secret once. I wouldn't even go to a meeting because I was afraid some prophet would out me. I know what you've done. I was being spiritually blackmailed. You know, just repent and get over it. Why do we run from God instead of running to God? He is the one who can forgive us and cleanse us and put you in right standing again. She was betrayed by Absalom. How many have been betrayed? Maybe by mom or dad. I talked to women. I said, what did you do? Well, I told my mother, but she didn't believe me. Or I told my mother, and she blamed it on me. Or I told my mother, and she told me to keep it quiet. Or my daddy. Or a priest. Look at what has happened in the Catholic Church. There's silence. I told my little granddaughter, I said, let me tell you something. If anybody ever says, don't tell your mom and dad, get away from them. That is the devil. Yeah. And if anything ever happens and somebody says, don't you ever tell anybody, you come straight to your mother or your daddy or grampy or granny. You tell us. They will threaten. I'll kill your whole family if you ever say anything. It's so wicked. Layers and layers of wickedness around this offense. Betrayed by a husband or a wife. This is not just about rape. Maybe it's incest. Maybe it's molestation. Maybe it's adultery. Maybe it's anything that you've been betrayed in can leave you in this same desolate place. She was exiled. Not sent away, but hidden. She hid in her shame, in her hurt, her betrayal, and remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. When I started studying different spirits, well, God one time told me to look that up. So I went and looked up the word, and that I was hooked from then on to look up the word. Because many times the definition of a word, like I was talking about the Ten Commandments, and it says, of those who hate me, oh, well, thank goodness I've never hated God. No, it has to do with betrayal. It has to do with loyalty. So it could say, those who have been disloyal to me. See, we've all been disloyal to God. So I started looking up the word. So I looked up the word desolate. She remained desolate. The word desolate means devastate. Figuratively, astonishment, amazement, like a trauma. Great surprise in a bad sense. Or dismay that hinders or throws into confusion, waste, ruin, the decayed or enfeebled remains. So you can tell what happens in that by the definition of the word. Confusion. Yes, when that happens to somebody, It causes confusion in the mind. It means stupefy, to make slow of mind, unthinking, irrational, lacking control or guidance, and could cause learning disabilities, could be the root to learning disabilities. It means unreasonable, and that suggests control by some force other than reason. It means obtuse, lacking sharpness or quickness of wit, dulled in feeling or sensation, or incapable of feeling or sensation. In other words, swallowed up. You're like in shock. You're not yourself anymore. Something's happened to disturb who you are. See, demons are soul snatchers. Did you ever hear that movie, Body Snatchers? There was a movie in the 60s called Body Snatchers. I never watched those shows, but I've learned, it's that my father-in-law has Alzheimer's, and I've learned that many of these demons are soul snatchers. They take away who you really are, and you become the remnant of what they are. Dull means a slow or sluggish mind due to disease, depression, shock, or trauma. The root of it is a wound, a bodily injury caused by a physical force applied from without, an outside physical force, a disordered psyche or behavioral state resulting from stress or injury. You know, post-traumatic stress syndrome is not exclusive to soldiers. Many things can cause that in people. Trauma can cause a form of arrested development to occur. A person's mental and emotional maturity is stunted. Many of us have areas of immaturity that hinder us in adulthood because our inner man is like a wounded little child. I prayed for a lady years ago. She would come to Lake Hamilton almost every camp. She looked so sad and oppressed. She would come that way, and she might get a little relief, but the next time she came, she looked exactly the same way, and this went on year after year. And I began to ask God, Lord, what has her so bound up that she cannot get free from this thing? Stuck that on my bulletin board, went on. And then one day, Dr. Noel prayed for her, and then he said, come over here and pray for her. And I thought, my goodness, Dr. Noel, if you couldn't get it, I mean, I'm a beginner. I don't know what to do. And while I was standing there, she was taller than me, and tears were streaming down her face, and I was just looking at her, and I heard, she has the spirit of the bride of Satan. Well, I wasn't even quite sure what that was. I had read it in a booklet, but there wasn't much about it. I had no understanding of it. But guess what? You don't have the understanding of it to cast it out, in Jesus' name. So, it was kind of startling, the spirit of the bride of Satan. How am I going to say that? And so I got in her ear, because I really didn't want the other people to hear me say it, so I whispered in her ear, and I said, I am speaking to the spirit of the bride of Satan. And immediately, I thought she was going to slug me. Her arms came up violently across her chest, and she fell flat on her face like a statue. Scared me. There she was, laying on the floor. And so I was going to turn her over. I couldn't budge her. It was like she was nailed to the floor. So a man came over, and together we pulled her over, and she was not breathing. I'm telling you, Satan would have rather killed her than let her go. Because, well, we'll get to that later. But anyway, so that startled me. But I had been practicing my raising the dead prayer. I really am. I'm getting ready for that day that I may have to raise someone from the dead. And so I just looked at her and I said, I bind the spirit of death and I command breath into your body in the name of Jesus Christ. And she took a deep breath and opened her eyes, but she was like not there. I mean, I could go like this, and she just, I thought, Lord, did she astral project out of her body or what? Some other people had come around. Everybody was binding and everything. And then suddenly I had a picture in my mind. My granddaughter was about 5 at that time. And I had a picture of a little girl frightened. And so I just told everybody, can y'all just stop? And I pulled a chair. We had sat her in a chair. And I pulled a chair up next to her. And I did to her what I would have done to my grandbaby. I pulled her over. And I began to just hold her. And she began to weep. And then she put her hands like this, like a little bitty girl. And she got in my ear and she said, can I tell you a secret? It was a little girl voice. It was freaky. And I said, you can tell me anything. So she's whispering to me that the mean man comes to get her. And she's beginning to sob now. And I know what's happened. I know what happened to her when she was about that age. And so I said, well, I bind the spirit of the mean man and I break his power off of your life in the name of Jesus Christ. And then started praying with her about the molestation, the rape. And of course, that's when she was a little bitty girl. Here she is in her 40s. All those years. And it happened many, many, many times. And I don't know how many other people may have. Because what happens is usually once a person is violated that way, then the spirits come into them. And then there are familiar spirits out here. And then they're walking through life. And another molester, his spirit's out here, hey, and then they're drawn. It happens again and again and again. There was a lady here, one ladies' conference, she was in her 70s. I taught on freedom from sexual sin. She came up. She could barely walk. She was so shaken. She had been raped when she was 16. Never told a soul. Her daughter was raped at 16 and her granddaughter was 15, and this woman was about to have a nervous breakdown for the fear of her granddaughter being raped too. I said, this is a generational curse. We're going to break it. Her granddaughter happened to be there and her daughter. So I prayed for all three of them, broke that generational curse. That's how things are passed down. Now, in my case, like, I was plagued with manifestations of someone who had an abortion. I've never had an abortion, but I had manifestations, symptoms of someone who had abortions. But my mother's mother had abortions. See, you don't have to do the same thing, but those spirits travel down the bloodline. Familial, and I call them familiar spirits because they like to stay in the family because they're familiar with the family. And who was it that said the other night, somebody died and that spirit went right into that other person? That's what they do. You know, my mother remarried after my daddy died, and the man was a veterinarian. And my mother would assist him in surgeries on animals. And she said, you want to hear something weird? As soon as an animal dies, every flea and every tick vacate the body. That's how demons are. The demons don't die with the person. They're looking for another house. This one has no life. I'm looking for another person, and they like to stay in the same family. So if you have family members that die, cover the rest of your whole family with the blood of Jesus.
and command that spirit to go to the abyss. You know, people ask me all the time, well, where do you send the demons? Well, I don't usually. I looked in the Bible. I never saw Jesus send them anywhere except in the pigs. That one time, he sent them into the pigs. Jesus is my example. So when I cast them out, I just cast them out. But you know where they really don't want to go? To the abyss. When I read that one day, see, that's why they begged to go into the pigs. Please don't send us out into the deep. That means the abyss. You know what that is? A bottomless, dark place. They don't want to go there. So if you're going to send them anywhere, send them to the abyss. They don't want to go there. But that's how spirits work. They leave one and they go to another. And I'll tell you, one of the most devious ways that demons are transferred is through sex. It is the highest form of witchcraft there is. So if you're in, if you are having sexual intercourse with somebody that is not your husband or your wife, you're involved in witchcraft and you are a breeding ground for demons. If we could really know what was going on, we would think twice. It'd be like eating a piece of pie with maggots. Seriously, if we could see in the spirit realm, we would not do a lot of the things that we do. Okay, so I want to stop right here and break soul ties if you have been the victim. Or, and you know what? Here's what I love about deliverance. You can separate the demon from the person. Now, a woman stood up one time. We had a question and answer panel. The question was, how do you forgive somebody who hurts you every day of your life? And there were five or six of us, and everybody was passing the microphone around. And when they gave the microphone to me, I said, you separate the person from the demon. If you can separate the person from the demon, you can still love and forgive the person and hate the demon. Because really, anybody who rapes, molests, all of these things that are detestable are victims themselves of a demon. And when they desire to be satisfied, here's what they do to the person. Here's the person, you or me. Here's the demon down here waiting. All of a sudden, it desires to be satisfied. It comes up, it raises up, puts you down, and does its thing through you. Then when it's done, it subsides, and there you are, left with all the circumstances. That's how they work. And so, the person who does these things, I told that girl, I said, I know, because she stood up. I said, I don't know who asked this question, and she jumped up. I asked it. She was hot, very. And I understand that. I can understand her anger, her betrayal, her confusion, her desolation. I mean, that does a job on a person when they are victimized that way by somebody that's supposed to be loving them and protecting them. I said it. I asked it. And I said, I know this. I am sure every time he did it, when he was done, he was remorseful and said he would never do it again, but he couldn't help himself. That demon is a driver. That's why it's so terrible to keep these things secret. Bust his power. Break his power. Expose him. Do you know if your house has termites, if you don't do something with them, they're going to take your house down. If you don't know they're there, that's one thing. But once they're discovered, you better do something with them. And that's how it is spiritually too. Don't keep these things locked up. They'll destroy you. They'll keep you from being who God created you to be. And that's the whole purpose of getting free, so that you can live the life that he died for you to have, and you can live it successfully. Okay, so if you are a victim, or even if you are the perpetrator, we need to break the soul ties. Because the perpetrator was also victimized, probably. That's how it works. They get molested, they become a molester. Not always, but many times it's repeated. So this is the prayer. So I want you to have that person in your mind, or persons. We're just going to do it once, but if you feel like you need to, do this prayer with every single person who hurt you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I break evil soul ties with the mean man that hurt me, or the woman. I send their soul and spirit back to them. And I call my soul and spirit back to myself. Cleansed and sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Father, I ask you to heal my mind and restore my soul in Jesus' name. And I give leave to every familiar spirit that attached itself to me through that offense. Now, I command every unclean spirit that came into you through that violation to get out now. Every unclean spirit, I cut their hands off of you. I come against every trigger that makes you remember it. A smell, a sound, a place, a darkness. Every fear that came into you. Fear of being found out. Fear of being pregnant. Fear of it happening again. Fear of going to sleep at night. Fear of the dark. I command every one of those spirits to come out right now in the name of Jesus. All the betrayal. I command betrayal to come out right now. Grief and sorrow go in the name of Jesus. Get out in the name of Jesus. All of the shame and guilt. When it wasn't your fault, I want you to know it was not your fault. In the name of Jesus, all guilt and shame go in the name of Jesus. Grief, the spirit of grief, grieving over what happened to you. In the name of Jesus, all grief and sorrow go in the name of Jesus. All betrayal go in Jesus' name. All lust spirits go in the name of Jesus. Get out in Jesus' name. I bind the spirit of the mean man and command you to go in Jesus' name. I come against. I'm gonna hold off on that one. I command those spirits to continue to come out, even as we walk out the rest of this day, even after they go home from camp. You demons, continue to come out in Jesus' name. Okay, so we've broken the soul ties. Now let me tell you the definition of stupor is a state. Wait, let me back up. Sometimes these things can cause a split personality. You know, the thing is so horrendous that you have to put it someplace in your mind and close that compartment. And that's what causes multiple personalities, trauma like that. It can cause stupor, a state of extreme indifference or lethargy resulting from stress or shock. It causes forgetfulness. See, it has an effect on your mind. That confusion and that trauma in the mind can cause forgetfulness. Physical or mental inertness or sluggishness, like being in a state of suspended animation. You walk around in a fog, in a daze. Have you ever known anyone like that? They're lifeless and depressed and sad and gloomy and low-spirited. By the way, the lady I pray for, she called me about 3 weeks after the conference and said, I didn't want to get my hopes up, but all of the torment is gone. All of the torment. She is free from that thing, finally. Okay. The Webster definition of desolate is destitute or deprived of inhabitants, deserted, left in the lurch. Listen to what lurch means. A helpless or unsupported position, not protected. Tamar was left in a lurch. Uninhabited, denoting either stripped of inhabitants or never having been inhabited, like an old abandoned house or a deserted island or a desolate wilderness. It means laid waste in ruinous condition, neglected, destroyed. Plain, no self-worth. Usually, you know, after you understand how all this works, you can begin to suspect that spirit on people because they try to make themselves unattractive because they don't want someone to be attracted to them to do that to them again. And it doesn't work that way. It's the spirit. You know, it just really doesn't work. They have repeated failures such as school, jobs, relationships, marriages. Multiple marriages take place. Loneliness, seclusion, being isolated, overlooked, ignored, and passed over. I'll tell you about that spirit of the bride of Satan, how that works. When something perverse happens to a person over and over again, or you may willingly, like if you have a spirit of prostitution and you give yourself and give yourself and give yourself and give yourself, well, after a while, Satan decides to claim you as his own. You're mine. You become, that's what the spirit of the bride of Satan means. He claims you for his own. And then you have visitations. He sends sex demons in the night. You may have incubus, succubus showing up and having sex with you at night. That's what was happening to the woman. She was being, not only was she molested and raped as a child, but she was being raped every night by incubus succubus demons, and she had no power against them. That would cause you to look the way she looked. She was tormented. It might be known as a spiritual husband or a spiritual wife. That's it. And he puts his veil on you. You know, the veil, the garment that she wore as a virgin, that is seen in the spirit realm by demons, but they can also see the veil of the bride of Christ. The veil that Satan puts on you will cause you to be unnoticed by someone that might be a prospective husband or wife. He hides you. You're mine. I had a beautiful girl tell me one time, she said, I can go with my friends' places, and we'll walk in a room, and the men, you know, look at all the women. It's like I'm not even there. When she said that, I said, have you ever been molested? Yes, I was. I said, that's what it is. Let's break it. Right in the parking lot, I broke that spirit of the bride of Satan off of her. And I removed that veil of Satan off of their life so that they can find a husband or a wife. It's power. It's a powerful, it's a really real thing. So let me break that. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I give a spiritual writ of divorcement to Satan today. I'm telling you, Satan, I am not your wife. And you will have no more power over my body to do with it what you want. No more. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the spirit of the bride of Satan to go now in Jesus' name. And I remove the veil of Satan off of you in the name of Jesus. And I break that desolation off of your life right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I break that desolation, the loneliness, being alone, having no husband, having no wife. I break it, having everything around you look like an abandoned house, even yourself looking like an abandoned house. I break that off of you now in the name of Jesus. I bind all incubus and succubus spirits right now. In the name of Jesus, I break your power no more. no more in the name of Jesus Christ. I command the familiar spirits to go right now that will not draw those people to molest you, to hurt you, to betray you in the name of Jesus. I give leave to the generationally inherited familiar spirits of your ancestors who have been raped or molested or who were rapists or molesters. I command those familiar spirits to get away from you now in the name of Jesus. And Father, right now I ask you to drop down on each one that needs it, the veil of the bride of Christ, that in the demonic realm, in the spiritual realm, they're off limits to Satan in Jesus' name. If you've had anger toward God because you wonder why, where were you when all this was happening to me? I know that people question that. Why weren't you there to help me? Why didn't you rescue me? Mama didn't rescue. Daddy didn't rescue. Brother didn't rescue. And neither did you, God. If you have anger at God, you need to forget. You need to ask God to forgive you right now. Father, forgive me for being angry with you. You're not the one who did this. And I forgive the person who did this to me. Because we heard the other night, if you don't forgive, you don't get forgiven. So you have to forgive them. It doesn't mean that what they did was okay. It really frees you. The forgiveness is for you. Okay, so now I'm just going to go ahead and cast out the rest of these that I called out. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just cover us all with the blood of Jesus right now. I call on mighty warring angels to help bring those, when they're cast out, take them to the abyss, never to return again. I bind and break the power of the curse of Tamar right now in Jesus' name. I bind and break the power of rape. I command all rape spirits to go. Molestation, get out. Go in Jesus' name. Spirits of abuse and cruelty, you go. Abuse and cruelty, get out. Go in Jesus' name. Inappropriate touch or look. I break your power of the inappropriate touch or look and command you to go. All spirits of incest, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. Forced oral sex, go in the name of Jesus. Forced intercourse, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. Forced anal sex, I bind you and command you to go. All sodomy spirits, get out in the name of Jesus Christ. All perversion, go in Jesus' name. Spirits of perversion, lust, go. All pain, physical, emotional, and mental pain, go in the name of Jesus. I command those tormenting spirits that want to torment you to go in the name of Jesus. I break their power off of you. And when they come, you need to tell them, you spirit of torment, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. All fear spirit, all fear, go. Terror, go. Anxiety, go. Panic attack, go in the name of Jesus. I break your power. Terror on every side, I command megaromisibib, go. I break your power and command you to get out in Jesus' name. All fright, shock, trauma, go in the name of Jesus. Get out. Shock, trauma, anxiety, go. Fright, go. Fear of the dark, go. Fear of certain places, go in the name of Jesus. Fear of death, fear of being killed by your violator, go in the name of Jesus. Fear of men, fear of the offender, fear of those in authority, fear of it happening again, fear of being found out, fear of going to sleep, go in the name of Jesus. Get out in the name of Jesus. All nightmares and insomnia, I break your power and command you to go. Nightmares and insomnia, go in the name of Jesus. Get out in Jesus' name. All memory recall, I break the cycle of memory recall right now in Jesus' name. You go. All flashbacks. Flashbacks. I bind you and break your power. You go in Jesus' name. All nervousness. Nervousness. Go in Jesus' name. Anger. Rage. And murderous rage. You go in the name of Jesus. All bitterness and resentment. I command you to go. All unforgiveness, I break your power and command you to go. All hatred, hatred of the violator, hatred of yourself, go in the name of Jesus. All vengeance, the want to get revenge on that person, I break your power. God is the defender and he will execute revenge in Jesus' name. All death wishes. Death wishes. I wish I would die. I wish I would have never been born. All suicidal thoughts, wanting to kill yourself, I bind you and break your power and command you to go in Jesus' name. All self-destructive behaviors, all bondages as a result, all bondage, go. Bondage to drugs, to alcohol, to gambling, to shopping, to eating. All bondage, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. Self-destructive behaviors, cutting yourself. Any form of depriving yourself of food in the name of Jesus. All anorexia, anorexia nervosa, go in the name of Jesus. All fear of strangers. Fear of strangers, I bind you and break your power in Jesus' name. I speak to all sexual dysfunction caused by rape, molestation, incest, betrayal, whatever. I bind you and break your power. I break the power of frigidity off of women in Jesus' name and off of men, sexual dysfunctions in men. I come against fear of pregnancy or abortion. If you got pregnant and you had an abortion, or someone else made you have an abortion, I bind that spirit of abortion, death, and murder and command it to go in the name of Jesus. And the death sentence that came upon you because of abortion, I break the death sentence off of your life right now in Jesus' name. All distrust. Distrust, go in the name of Jesus. Betrayal, go. Confusion, forgetfulness, go in the name of Jesus. Mental torment, I bind you and break your power. All spirits of insanity, go. Spirits of insanity, get out of their minds right now in Jesus' name. Arrested development, I want to stop right here and do an arrested development prayer. Over all of you. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind arrested development. Whether it was from rape, molestation, if your parents were on drugs or if they were alcoholics, anything that caused you not to grow up like you should have grown up, I bind that spirit of arrested development and I command it to get out of you now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, and I speak right now a supernatural maturity to come forth, a miracle, Lord. You said that one of the gifts was the workings of miracles, and this would take a miracle, but I am calling for a working of miracles in the people's minds, for a supernatural maturity to come forth to their chronological age right now in the name of Jesus. All arrested development has got to go. All immaturity, all not wanting to grow up, get out in the name of Jesus Christ. I command all stupor and dullness, go. Stupor and dullness, walking around in a fog, I break your power and command you to go. All learning disabilities, I break your power. Dyslexia, I break your power. ADD, ADHD, I break your power in the name of Jesus. All autism, right now in the name of Jesus, I speak neutralization to anything that was in an injection that is causing you problems, arrested development from injections, medications, drugs, alcohol, whatever, in the name of Jesus. break its power and command those spirits to go now in Jesus' name. All stuttering because of trauma, stuttering, I break your power and command you to go. Oppression and depression, grief, sorrow, sadness, go in the name of Jesus. Get out of God's people in Jesus' name. All loneliness, I bind you and break your power and command you to get out in Jesus' name. All loneliness, I break your power. Desolation, being alone, having no friends, having no faith, having no family, being isolated and alone, I break your power. Desolation, go in the name of Jesus. Guilt and shame, I break your power. All guilt and shame, leave in the name of Jesus. False responsibility, taking false responsibility for it, I break your power and command you to go. The lying spirit, I bind the lying spirit right now that says you are ruined or damaged goods. I bind the lie that nobody's going to want you. I bind that spirit right now and command it to shut up and go. You are not ruined or damaged. God is able to restore you. And that's what he's doing right now in Jesus' name. All fantasy, go in the name of Jesus. And I break the lie that you'll never marry. I break the lie you'll never find a mate. When Satan comes and tells you something that you know is a lie, well, everything he says is a lie. He's a liar and the father of it. So whatever he's telling you that makes you sad, you need to turn it around on him. And just think like this. Wait a minute. If what he's telling me is a lie, then the opposite must be the truth. And start praising God for the opposite. When he came and said, I've got all three of your kids, I thought, wait a minute. He's a liar. Lord, I thank you that Satan does not have all three of my kids. Amen. That's how you have to do it. Turn it on him. Now, behavioral problems. I bind and break the power of promiscuity, provocative dressing, seductive behavior, whoredom and whoremongering. I break your power in the name of Jesus. I remove from you the whore's forehead in Jesus' name. All fornication, spirits of fornication, go in Jesus' name. Masturbation, go in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of the torturer, the molester, and the mean man. I break your power and command you to get out of God's people. All rapist spirits, I bind the spirits of the rapist. I bind the spirits of the pervert. I command you to go in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of the violator and the abuser and the mean man spirit. I break your power and command you to go in Jesus' name. Incubus and succubus spirits, go in the name of Jesus. Unnatural thoughts and tormenting thoughts, I break your power and command you to go. Now all unclean spirits, get out. Unclean spirits, get out of the mind, get out of the heart. All the unclean spirits, come out of their blood, come out of their bones, come out of their stomach, their intestines, their spleen, their gallbladder, their brain, their lungs, go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, all lust that was passed from your violator, lust, go in the name of Jesus. Now I destroy the altar of Satan. I call down fire from heaven right now to destroy the altar that Satan wanted to lay you on to have your life. I destroy that altar right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And I restore to you the right to say no. I restore to you the authority that was taken away from you. I restore that back to you right now in Jesus' name. And I remove that label off of you that I was raped, I was molested, use me, abuse me, hurt me any way you want to. I remove that label off of you right now. And I replace it with the label that you are a daughter of the Most High God, a princess. And Lord, I ask you to restore their virginity that was stolen from them. Restore it. Let that garment be seen in the spirit realm that they their virginity is restored to them. Now I loose the spirit. Well, I loose healing upon you right now. I speak to your broken heart. I speak to your wounded spirit right now, and I say be healed. Jesus said in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and I am anointed to preach the gospel to the poor and to heal, not bind up, heal the brokenhearted, and to preach deliverance to the captive, and to what the bruised, help me, set at liberty them that are bruised. Those of you who have been molested and incested have been bruised, and today you are set at liberty of being bruised in the name of Jesus. Now I speak restoration to your body, your soul, your spirit, your mind, and your emotions. Every infirmity that came to you as a result of this curse of Tamar. I speak to it right now, and I take authority over it and break its power off of you and command it to leave your body now in Jesus' name. I ask that God would bless you, Lord. I speak a blessing upon your people, a fresh anointing of his love today. The lie that you were told that he didn't love you enough to protect you, I break the power of that off of your life. Lord, I ask you to drop down right now your love upon your people. Let it be a manifest presence of your love, your great love for them, and heal that perfect love that casts out all fear, that the fear that came on them through this will no longer be there in the name of Jesus. A fresh anointing of his joy. A fresh anointing of his joy and a fresh anointing of his peace. When you lay down at night, if you have flashbacks and nightmares, if that's been going on, and even if those spirits come back to try to torment you, I have a simple little prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind every spirit that would come to torment me in my sleep. And I call the mighty angels of God to come and stand around me shoulder to shoulder that no evil penetrate. That will take care of a lot of torment, things that want to worry you in the night, disturb your sleep. That's a simple prayer, but it's powerful. Now I bind all backlash and retaliation from the enemy and the other spirits that were stirred up. I bind them right now and lock them up in a cage until they can be dealt with. Unable to do anything to you in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you for the food that we are about to eat, and we ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.